From our studios in downtown Washington, D.C., this is D.C. Public Safety. I'm your host, Len Sipes. We have, an extraordinarily interesting program today, Leadership in Criminal Justice. I've been in the criminal justice system for almost 40 years, and I can tell you that there's no issue more contentious than this concept of leadership within the criminal justice system. Do we really breed free-thinking people who are going to attack crime problems or correctional problems or court-related problems through innovation, through interesting concepts, through exploration, through research? It's difficult within a bureaucracy, and there's probably no bureaucracy more stodgy than the criminal justice system. So we have two, I think, really interesting people to talk to today. One is Debbie Owens. She is the Deputy Commissioner of the Baltimore City Police Department, and I'm going to give out her email address in a little while. And the other interesting person we have is Dr. William Sondervan. Dr. Sondervan is a professor and director of criminal justice at the University of Maryland University College. And again, I'll give out his email address and his website afterwards. The interesting thing about University of Maryland University College, 94,000 students throughout the country and throughout the world. They have a European division, they have an Asian division. So we're talking about a major administrative academic effort coming together with mainstream criminal justice to develop this concept called leadership in criminal justice. Debbie Owens and Dr. Bill Sondervan, welcome to DC Public Safety.
Thanks, Len.
All right.
I want to start off with you a little bit, Bill. 94,000 students, University of Maryland University College. The whole concept, I mean, is this the normal college, or is this something that brings a new and innovative way of offering higher-level academic programs to students?
Well, Len, we're actually quite unusual. A very interesting university. We're part of the university system of Maryland, and there's 11 colleges of universities in this system. And our distinct mission is the adult part-time learner and working with the professional in the field. And I've been a practitioner my whole life. I've 23 years in the military police, retiring as a lieutenant colonel, and then a state corrections commissioner. And I was asked to come in and create a program specifically for practitioners to help the people in the field to better be able to do their job. And that's what makes us a little bit different.
Debbie, first of all, congratulations to you all in Baltimore City. You've reduced the homicide rate to its lowest point in many years. You've also recorded recently a 2% reduction in violent crime. Debbie Owens is Deputy Commissioner of Baltimore City Police Department. Debbie, why did you get involved with the University of Maryland University College? What advantages do they bring to the folks at the Baltimore City Police Department?
You know, actually, it was Commissioner Bielfeld's idea. I know that he's worked with Bill before, and we have done some things with universities and toyed around with various types of leadership development, and we just were taken aback by the effectiveness and the accomplishments that University of Maryland University College has made. And so we sat around. I remember Bill one morning at breakfast talking about this whole subject of leadership, and Bill and his cohorts just brought years and years of knowledge and experience to the table, and we just felt comfortable, and it has ended up being a great partnership.
All right. Now we've got the easy questions out of the way, the introductions out of the way. Debbie Owens can be reached at Deborah.Owens@BaltimorePolice.org. Deborah.Owens, O-W-E-N-S, at BaltimorePolice.org. Bill Sondervan can be reached at WSondervan@UMUC.edu. The website is www.umuc.edu. Okay. The niceties are out of the way. Now let's have the fun part of the conversation. Again, I've been in the criminal justice system for 40 years. It is a stodgy bureaucratic system, whether we're talking about corrections, whether we're talking about the judiciary, whether we're talking about pretrial, whether it doesn't matter, parole and probation. It's a system of hierarchies. It's a leader at the top setting the tone for everybody else. In law enforcement, in some cases, it's very paramilitary. In corrections, it's very paramilitary. Is this a structure? I'm talking specifically about the criminal justice system, not IBM or not Google or not, you know, the big automotive companies. Is the criminal justice system conducive to creating people who are going to think for themselves, create for themselves, try things for themselves, and take risks?
Well, Len, if I may, that's what this program is all about. And the way we kicked it off and the way we got started was sitting around a table with Commissioner Fred Bielfeld and some colleagues. And this is all about relationships and friendships that go back years. And as a new police commissioner for the department, Fred Bielfeld sincerely wanted to make a better a safer city and create a better police department by giving his mid-level managers and his officers the tools to do that. And we kicked around a lot of different ideas, and by going back and forth, we came up with a model which is really unique. It was new to Baltimore City Police, and it was new to the university. He had some selling to do on his end. I had some selling to do on our end. The people at University of Maryland University College were skeptical at first, but then became very agreeable, and now they really love the program. Our dean and our provost, our president, are all involved in it. And Fred wanted something where the mid-level managers in this program could actually help solve problems. Well, we're teaching them leadership skills and problem-solving skills for them to go into the city and to tackle some problems and come up with solutions to problems as part of the learning process. And I think that's really neat, and that's really kind of what we did. And I'm going to ask the deputy commissioner to talk about that a little bit. But what we did in our format is we started out with, we have four credit classes that lead to a 16-credit criminal justice leadership certificate, and all those credits apply to a bachelor of science degree. And a part of this whole thing is the commissioner wants to encourage his people to get their bachelor's degrees. But the way we have it set out is we have a week in the classroom, which is intensive in-classroom learning, and then we follow that by 6 weeks in an online environment. And in the online environment, the students have to do a journal, they have to do papers, they have to do research. But really what's unique about this is our faculty working with the police commissioner and the deputy commissioner and their senior staff, is they come up with projects, and they basically give our faculty the projects. The projects are then assigned to the students, who are broken down into teams, and the teams go and they actually research those projects. They come up with solutions, and at the end of each class, those students have to brief the commissioner, the deputy commissioner, and other members of the command staff on their solution to problems. And I think this is really remarkable, and I think a lot of the things that the students were able to do, the commissioner adopted them for actual implementation. And another part of this thing is, I think for the commissioner, deputy commissioner, they really got to see their people. Some of those folks in the class, they didn't know that well because it's a huge police department, but they got to watch their people in action, and they really learned a lot about him, and they really saw who has leadership ability, who doesn't, and who's going to, you know, come to the top.
Okay, well, Bill, I think you answered the question in a roundabout way. Debbie, I'm going to put the question to you. Now, what Bill just says makes sense. I mean, within an academic setting, you're allowed to do lots of different things. You're allowed to explore. What about people when they get beyond the academic setting? Is the Baltimore City Police Department, and I'm going to venture and say most criminal justice bureaucracies are pretty stodgy. They want leadership from the top and not leadership from mid-level, street-level management. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're absolutely right, Len, and your earlier comment about law enforcement agencies and paramilitary organizations that are somewhat single-minded. You're right, from the top down, where we'll give you the directions, we'll give you the orders, we'll tell you how to think, we'll tell you what to do.
Right.
That's the way it's always been in law enforcement. But this new commissioner, this new command staff, this new mayor and regime in this city, we're looking for more creative ways to have leaders, the new young future leaders of this police department and law enforcement in general, to begin to be creative and to think for themselves and to step outside of this whole paramilitary thing concept and be able to come up with, be able to analyze problems, situations, issues in their communities, and develop programs or processes or better ways to manage those issues rather than the top forcing thoughts and movements downward.
Can either one of you give me some examples as to how ideas came up from street level managers to improve the situation in the city of Baltimore?
You know, essentially, we sat down with several different groups of people. And once again, this was sergeants, lieutenants, up to deputy majors, which are similar to a captain's rank in the military.
Right.
And we looked at some of the issues that we were facing or had been facing over the last several years in the city of Baltimore, and issues that we thought, if corrected or altered, would help with the reduction of crime and the improvement in the quality of life of the citizens of Baltimore. And we looked at things like foot patrol. Many, many, many years ago, both of you well know, you've been around for a long time. Foot patrol, that's the way cops got around. They were on foot, and they were in neighborhoods, and neighborhoods felt good about knowing the name of their cop and as years have gone on, we've gotten away from that. So we talked about things like a foot patrol project. We talked about recruitment. Recruitment is a huge issue in law enforcement and the criminal justice.
Law enforcement agencies were at least having a tough time recruiting people before the recession. I don't know if that's I don't know where we are now. But at one point, some law enforcement leaders described it as being a bit of a crisis.
It was, and everybody was fighting for the same pool of candidates. And so one of the groups in this class actually had concerns about what the advertising, the types of advertising, the locations that we were advertising for recruitment. And so they took it upon themselves to work with one of the local TV stations and developed probably one of the most successful recruitment videos that we've ever had. So literally everybody sat down and looked at issues that we thought that people could analyze and make an impact on, and that's pretty much how we decided on what projects or what groups the groups would do.
Bill, the whole idea of exporting this, now, again, both of us, all three of us, have been in the criminal justice system a long time. We've talked about similar issues decades ago in terms of taking line managers and providing the opportunities for a college education. More and more people coming to law enforcement, by the way, as you well know, and corrections have bachelor's degrees, have advanced degrees. But the rank and file, ordinarily, most of the people in law enforcement do not. We've talked about developing leadership throughout the years in terms of collegiate courses. But the thing that's intriguing me is this concept of leadership. A sergeant basically saying, you know what, I think what the hierarchy is doing in the city of Baltimore, or a correctional sergeant in a prison saying, I think what the hierarchy is doing is wrong. I think there's a better way of approaching this, and I'm going to use it from a research point of view, a best evidence point of view, and present my ideas to these individuals. Are those ideas going to receive a welcome reception? And I'm going to go put myself out on the limb and say, for a lot of criminal justice agencies, the answer is no.
Well, I think the answer is no, and I think there's a big leadership gap in police, corrections, and juvenile justice across the whole system, and I think that's something that really needs to be addressed. There's a rapid turnover of senior leaders and mid-level managers, and these are the kinds of things that have to be explored. And that's exactly what's going on in this particular program. We're encouraging the mid-level managers in this class to think for themselves and to come up with ideas. And the police commissioner, deputy commissioner, have welcomed this, and they're open. And they're sitting down and they're talking, you know, with the people in the class about their ideas. They're getting it from the line people out in the field, and they're learning a lot by talking to the people. And they're actually taking what they're telling them, and they're putting it into action. I think this is what really makes it remarkable.
I think go ahead, Debbie.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, please.
Probably one of the most interesting things about the program, and one of the most successful things about the program, if you go back and speak to those that went through the original, the first program, was that they had an opportunity for their voice to be heard and their thoughts and concerns about issues that are going on not only in this police department, but that are going on in concert with other law enforcement agencies or other partners, whether it be parole and probation, whether it be corrections. Those folks are out and about day in and day out working on the street, and they have concerns, and they felt like their voice wasn't being heard. But in this case, I think that they have now realized that it's very open-minded at the top of the police department, and that their voice can be heard, and that they had some great ideas, and that they were able to be very successful in not only looking at these projects, but putting together finished products that they could carry away with them and actually implement. That was one of the biggest things, Bill, that we talked about, was them being able to not only devise programs, but literally go back and implement them into their own districts or divisions or sections, and then go back several months later and evaluate how it worked. So I think that's been a huge success.
And let me add to what the Deputy Commissioner just said. One of the things that was really neat that came out of this is, you know, sometimes universities are like criminal justice agencies. They don't listen either.
Sure.
But in this case, they did. One of the things that came out of this class was a need for a graduate program in criminal justice for practitioners. So we sat down with the class, and we did some brainstorming and said, okay, if we're going to create a master's program for mid-level police officers or mid-level correctional officers to prepare them to go up their senior leadership, what should be in this master's program? What should it look like? What are the skills that you need to have? And by going through that process, we listed all these things out. And we went back to the university administration. We took it to the dean, the provost, and the president of the university. And we said, hey, these police officers in Baltimore City want us to do a master's program, and here's this kind of skills that we need. And we went round and round. We came up with a couple models. But what we settled on was a Master of Science in Management that has leadership management, communication skills, strategic planning, all those kinds of things, plus a core of real solid criminal justice courses that would create a perfect degree for them. And then what we did with it is we set it up as a dual degree program so that if they finished this and they wanted to go on by taking three more 6-credit classes, they could get an MBA. Well, we took what the officers told us. We put it together in a packet. It went all the way up to the president of the university and got approved by the Maryland Higher Education Commission and by our Criminal Justice Advisory Board. And we now have a master's program that's coming, going to be available in the fall online and in the classroom. And it's exactly designed to take this group of mid-level managers and prepare them to be senior leaders.
Well,
I think this is great.
My guess is that the combination of criminal justice and leadership and business is exactly what's needed instead of a straight criminal justice degree. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to DC Public Safety. I am your host, Len Sipes. Debbie Owens is the Deputy Commissioner of the Baltimore City Police Department. You can reach Deborah at Deborah, DeborahOwens, OWENS, at BaltimorePolice.org. Also at our microphones, Dr. William Sondervan, Professor and Director of Criminal Justice for University of Maryland University College. It's sort of a non-traditional college. It's been around for a long time. I, as a budding police officer, close to 40 years ago, took courses from the University of Maryland University College, though I have a direct connection with UMUC. 94,000 students throughout the world, www.umuc.edu. Okay, so we have, again, this idea of leadership. We have, what we're saying is that we all admit that the criminal justice system is a bit stodgy and really doesn't jump up for joy when that sergeant comes up and says, you know, I've done a little bit of research. In fact, I've done a lot of research and I've checked with this organization and that organization. And one of the things that they suggest is we do is whatever it is, blah, blah, blah. And now possibly some of the criminal justice agencies throughout the country are embracing that concept. Now, I'll direct the listeners, and I can't remember the names of the television shows, I'm sorry, movies that were about, I'd say 30 years ago, about the rogue cop in Los Angeles. In other words, cops who were not listened to, cops who were just part of the system. They were just pawns in the system, if you will. And they took it out against themselves through drugs and alcohol and through to the larger society. It was this whole concept of the rogue cop. And there were some textbooks devoted to the whole concept of the one textbook called The Ambivalent Force back from the 1970s. So this concept of cops not being listened to, developing a subculture amongst themselves because they were isolated from the command structure, isolated from the ability to provide information directly. I mean, that's part of the folklore of policing. It's top down and we're being ignored. So we're going to act out. Am I making any sense?
Lots of sense.
Okay.
I think you are.
And doesn't that apply to the entire criminal justice system? And won't this concept not only improve the keeping of good personnel within the criminal justice system because they have a way of getting directly involved in the policy process, it's going to recruit people into the criminal justice system. I think this is a win-win situation for everybody, but I'm not quite sure how people outside the criminal justice system have a good understanding of what it is that we're talking about. So that's why I go back to those movies in the 70s and the book The Ambivalent Force, and I think the author was Joseph Wambach, who did a series of books about dysfunctional police.
Well, then this is what it's all about. It's all about good leadership. It's about good management. It's about strategic planning. It's having good quality communication up and down the line where people are feel empowered, that the officers are part of the solution, where they're contributing their ideas, they're contributing their knowledge, they're being listened to carefully, and there's ownership, and there's buy-in, and there's communication, and you get the whole department, you know, going in one direction and feeling good about their leadership and what they're doing and feeling good about contributing to making their city or their state a better place. And, you know, anybody who works in policing or in corrections or juvenile justice has to be that kind of person, because those kinds of jobs are more than just the money. You know, there's got to be that kind of character about a person to do well in those jobs.
Well, we have a high – go ahead, Deb, please.
No, go ahead, Lynn. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We have a high turnover in law enforcement. We have a high turnover in corrections. And I understand that depends upon the economy, and that depends upon what law enforcement agency throughout the country we're talking about or what correctional agency we're talking about. But the turnover problem is there. And it would just seem to me that other people would say, you know, this is – not only a career with a future, this is an opportunity. This is a career that treats me not as an equal. I understand that, but it allows me to give input as to what the burning issues are.
Exactly. I mean, I think that Bill hit on it perfectly, and you have as well, Len. One of the things that this program has also done, you know, these guys and girls that attended this, they're going home and talking to their wives and their girlfriends and their parents and their friends, and they're talking about their involvement in the University of Maryland Leadership Program. But it also has given the everyday street cop detectives, those folks that are out on the front line day in and day out, also has given them the hope and the opportunity that their voices can be heard as well, and so that it's not just for the mid-level supervisors, but once again that this is an open-minded police department and an era in law enforcement and criminal justice where everybody's voice is able to be heard. It's not just one person who's saying this is the way things are going to be handled here, but everybody, you know, as many ideas as you can get involved in solving, whether it be juvenile crime or social issues or partnering with the various agencies and cities. Everybody now understands that they have an opportunity to be heard and that their suggestions will be accepted.
And that's the heart and soul behind problem-oriented policing, the concept that, you know, that you have an issue. I think the most frequent example of problem-oriented policing is a commercial environment. Could be a bar, it could be a restaurant, it could be, who knows. But the bulk of the calls for that particular police district are from that location and from areas directly related to that location. So there's a problem. How, instead of endlessly running to calls for service at that location, the officers and the sergeants and the lieutenants figure out what it is about that location that is necessary and how can we solve that problem in that particular location. In the case of problem bars, it's taking their liquor license away from them. But problem-oriented policing is designed to take just about any criminal justice problem and to analyze it, not necessarily by the hierarchy, but more by the people who are at that line level. So there is a bit of a tradition in law enforcement, at least, and I think emerging tradition in corrections, to look at things from a problem-solving point of view. That requires the rank and file.
Absolutely, man. And part of doing leader development is preparing those mid-level leaders and managers to listen to the people below them as well. It's not just from them up, it's from them down. It's teaching them how to do those very things you talked about.
Yeah, Len, we've also involved, I know wherever I go, the commissioner goes, the other senior command members, and I'm sure the folks that have gone through this class, but wherever we go, whoever we're involved with, especially in the community, we're talking about programs like this and specifically about this program and how we're developing leaders and police officers and folks to analyze problems and their involvement and their suggestions on what they see and what they would like.
Well, that's the other part of it.
It goes out further than just the police department itself.
That's the other part of it, Debbie, with the whole concept of community-oriented policing. Now, there's nobody has a clear definition as to what community-oriented policing is. It is principally a concept, a philosophy. But the bottom line is that not only is rank and file involved in solving problems, and when I say rank and file, I'm talking about, you know, officers, sergeants, lieutenants, people directly involved in that particular district, but community members themselves. And that's very difficult for us. I mean, what we're talking about throughout this entire program are concepts difficult on the part of the criminal justice system, the bureaucracy, difficult concepts to implement. Number one, listening to rank and file. Number two, listening to community people, giving them an opportunity to have direct input into and how a law enforcement agency, or for that matter, a correct corrections agency or judicial agency how they conduct business. Again, that's it's tough for the bureaucracy to embrace both, but this embraces all of that. Correct.
Correct.
Absolutely, Lynn.
You know, I mean, I can remember being part of the community crime prevention movement a couple decades ago for the two Department of Justice clearinghouses. And I ended up going around the country talking to law enforcement folks, and they were looking at me like I was crazy in terms of, you know, just forming that bond with the community in terms of empowering the community folks to come along and solve that problem. The bottom line is that unless we get the community involved, unless they own the problem, the problem's never going to go away. Unless rank and file owns the problem's never going to go away. I think that's what we're basically admitting to. So we're not talking about so much of an educational program. We're talking about a different way of looking at crime and criminal justice issues.
And the same concepts apply in running a prison system and inside of a prison. When people leave and you do their exit interviews and ask them why they're leaving, you know, a lot of times they're leaving because they feel like they're not empowered, that they're not able to solve problems, that they're afraid in their work environment, and that they just basically kind of have low morale. And a lot of people under good leadership will grow and prosper, and if they're not listened to, and if they're not involved, if they're not empowered, they're going to not be motivated, and you're going to tend to lose them.
Well, Bill, a direct example of that is that you, when you ran the Maryland prison system, implemented in the most dangerous prisons we had this problem-oriented approach, and got the rank and file involved and let them make decisions for that particular pod in terms of how they handle violence, how they handle interactions between very, very disruptive and in some cases dangerous inmates and correctional folks. Violence went down, and violence went down dramatically in those areas.
Well, it's very similar to policing, only in a different environment. You know, for example, we took the Maryland House of Correction Annex, which was just full of the most violent maximum security prisoners we had in the state, and the violence there was just, you know, through the roof. And what we did was we implemented unit management. It's almost kind of like community policing, where we put a lieutenant in charge of each housing unit. We put the same people assigned to that housing unit on a constant basis, and they worked together as a team, and they engaged in problem solving, and they came up with their own solutions on how to reduce violence, and it worked very, very well. And it got to be the point where this very dangerous prison where nobody wanted to go to became a very nice place to work, and people were happy to be there, and the concepts are similar.
And, you know, it's interesting. You can go into a prison and feel the energy and feel the emotion as soon as you walk into the institution. And you can go into other prisons and feel the lack of the tension immediately upon entering into the institution. So it's amazing what philosophy, or a change in philosophy, will do just in terms of managing a prison. And I would imagine, Debbie Owens, just in terms of managing crime within a neighborhood.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Len. I've noticed a huge change in the areas where these participants in this course are now working, whether it be in a district or in a detective unit. You can just sense that there's some renewed motivation on their part, and they're eager to take everything they've learned. You know, one of the issues that I thought we would have problems with was how the course was set up, and that they would be gone for, because we had to take different things into consideration, one being deployment. This is a very long program over the course of weeks, and to have 25 people, especially mid-level managers, missing from your day-to-day crime fight would be tough. And, you know, we toyed back and forth with time frames, and the fact that they are there for a week in class, working together as teams, tossing around ideas, is great. But what was even more encouraging to us is when they came back to their own environment for 6 weeks and then did everything online, you could see that the things that they had learned and discussed and topics they had talked about in the week that they were all together, that they were already implementing. So it wasn't like we had to wait to the end of a semester or wait until class was finished and they got a certificate to see any results. We saw results every 6 weeks. They'd go away for a week and they'd come back for 6 weeks, and they just had this energy about them. And once again, they've encouraged others, whether it be a street cop or a detective or others that they've worked with, a community member, they've convinced them now that it's okay to talk about together how we can fix these problems, and that we can be creative and, and think in different ways that we've never thought before.
Debbie, you've got the final word. Debbie Owens, Deputy Commissioner of the Baltimore City Police Department. Again, congratulations on the huge reductions in homicide in the city of Baltimore, as well as a 2% reduction in violent crime over the course of the last year. It's Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, dot Owens, O-W-E-N-S, at baltimorepolice.org. And Dr. William Sondervan, Professor, Director of Criminal Justice at the University of Maryland University College. William Sondervan, W. Sondervan, W-S-O-N-D-E-R-V-A-N, at umuc.edu, or the website for the University of Maryland University College, www.umuc.edu. Ladies and gentlemen, this is DC Public Safety. I really want to thank all of your comments. We're getting a ton of them now that I'm involved in LinkedIn and Twitter and the other social networking sites such as Facebook and MySpace, and as well through the email on this show and through the comments section of the show. Keep your comments coming in. We really are listening to them. We really do examine them all, discuss them all, and we respond to every comment. We appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, please have yourselves a very, very pleasant day.